So hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Deep Dive with me, Stephen, and my co-host, Tiffany. Now, this week we're talking about the political scene in Singapore because Workers' Party leader Pritam Singh is no longer Singapore's leader of the opposition.
Yeah, right. Prime Minister Lawrence Wong, he has removed Mr. Singh from this role and invited the Workers' Party to nominate another person to take the seat.
Yeah, that's right. And this is all coming on the back of Mr. Singh's court convictions for lying to the Committee of Privileges over whether he had instructed former MP Rasha Khan to come clean about a lie she told in Parliament.
And last week, the House passed a motion to deem Mr. Singh unfit to stand as leader of the opposition.
So what will the next move by the Workers' Party be? You know, what kind of impact will this have on them? Well, to help us with our discussion today, we have with us Associate Professor Eugene Tan from the Singapore Management University.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Tiffany. Thank you for having me.
And independent political observer, Dr. Felix Tan.
Hi to all of you.
Hey, welcome, guys.
Well, the Workers' Party said that it will deliberate on PM's letter and will respond to the invitation in due course on whether they will take up the leader of the opposition replacement role. I mean, basically nominate someone to take over the seat. But I guess the announcement to remove Mr. Singh really, you know, didn't come as a big surprise, correct? Given that Mr. Singh is also the WP SecGen, will this cause a leadership crisis within the party now that they may have to they will have to nominate a new leader of the opposition if they take the invitation on?
I see the party as being rather close-knit. So even if whether they do accept the invitation to nominate another elected MP, you know, to be the leader of opposition, I don't think it will cause, you know, any sort of leadership struggle or tension, you know, within the party. I think Pritam Singh's grip on the party is very secure. We saw from the debate on the motion last week, all the WP MPs who were present were clearly behind him. And I think, you know, that in many ways reflect, you know, the party has close ranks and, you know, they are going to go all the way, you know, to protect Mr. Pritam Singh. I'll say protect, but, you know, but to support him, you know, in this particular matter.
Because in a way, he still stays on as a member of parliament, you know, it's just the LO position that he loses. So maybe to help our viewers and listeners understand a bit better, let's have a quick 101, as in the leadership, you know, the role of the leader of the opposition. Why is that significant? What does it mean for them?
I think for one, they do have extra resources that will be given to the leader of the opposition, and they have extra time in parliament to speak as well on certain issues, and of course the first response as well. So I think there are a lot of so-called privileges in that sense given to the LO and not just to any other opposition member of parliament. So I think that in itself is something to think about, to consider.
Right. And this position is appointed by the Prime Minister, right?
Exactly. I think one thing about it being appointed by the Prime Minister is it's not within the Constitution. So to how official this appointment really is, I think it's still up in the air. But I think I just want to go and say that what's freely given can always be freely taken away. So I think in this instance, that seems to be the situation.
I think there's so many things in there, and I really want to get into it during this podcast. But maybe just as a quick poll, do you guys think that the WP will take up the invitation to put in a new person for the LO position?
My money is that the Workers' Party is unlikely to take it up.
And why so?
Well, I think, you know, first looking at the debate on the motion, I think they strenuously objected. You know, to Mr. Pritam Singh, you know, having, you know, to be removed as the leader of the opposition. I think second, you know, it will enable the party, you know, to be consistent, right, in terms of saying that this is really a political fix-it job. And I think they want to continue that particular narrative, you know, as part of the larger approach of saying that, you know, there were extenuating circumstances, you know, that led Mr. Pritam Singh to do what he did, you know, in terms of letting 2 months to pass, you know, before Ms. Raiza Khan's life was clarified in Parliament. And I think the third reason would be that, you know, it would put them, again, you know, firmly in the eyes of Singaporeans, you know, that they are the underdogs, you know, they are the victims, you know, of a one-party dominant system, and that it becomes important for there to be a more balanced parliament.
So you don't think that they will take up the invitation? Mm-hmm. Felix, what do you think?
This is not an official title where you run in parliament and then you get a position, you know. So the thing is that there's no necessity for them to do so. Think about this 5 years before as well, you know, before it was given to Pritam Singh as their, I mean, they were working fine. They had the support from the people and they were doing their job just as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is the relevant to the Workers' Party if they take it up? What can they gain from it besides the resources, besides the extra time? Are they any poorer not taking it up? So that's one reason. Second reason, I think, is to stress on the point that the party is behind Pritam all the way and that, as quote-unquote, his conscience is cleared.
Mm.
And I think at the end of the day, we do have to let voters decide whether they believe in it or not. Like you mentioned earlier, we all know and we knew what the result was going to be. So there are no surprises. So given all that has transpired so far, I don't think there's even a need for the Workers' Party to take it up.
Okay.
What were they going to lose?
I take a slightly different view. I can understand where the Workers' Party would be coming from. But I would certainly hope that they look at the larger picture, right? Mm. How can we entrench the role of the opposition in Singapore politics? And I think the leader opposition appointment is a very good platform. Yes, there are a lot of uncertainties. They may not like the way, you know, the appointment, the removal and all. But I still think that, you know, putting that aside, you know, it is a platform that is given the Workers' Party, in particular Pritam, a lot of airtime, a lot of mind share.
Mm.
And I think if he wants to talk about more balanced parliament, that extra airtime, the stronger profile, I think, will help their cause.
Mm.
And I think if they look at the bigger picture, I think, you know, if Singapore voters, you know, believe, you know, that there should be a more balanced parliament, I think, you know, it will work well. So yes, you know, it is a setback.
Right.
But I think, you know, there is a lot more to be gained.
And if we really want to recognize our democratic system, you know, in terms of maturity, then should we not institutionalize this leader of the opposition? Why aren't we doing that?
Yeah, I think exactly what you have mentioned over there. Why aren't we institutionalizing it if it's so effective, if it's so beneficial? You know, at the end of the day, I mean, you mentioned earlier on there are more benefits for them, which is true. I wouldn't deny that. But the thing is that if it's not within the constitution or within parliament itself, then how much can the role of the LO mean and do? That's one. And secondly, I mean, at this moment, the Workers' Party is the largest opposition party. But then if they were to select one, and then in the future, there are other opposition party members that come to the fore, then how do you decide who should be the LO?
They can fight it out, right, I guess.
They can fight that, and that will lead to unnecessary drama in Parliament and extra time, which I think the Parliament should focus on more important issues that affect Singaporeans.
But is that extra time that is accorded to the leader of the opposition, does it really move the needle when it comes to, you know, maybe debates in Parliament, passing bills? Because at the end of the day, before we even had a leader of the opposition, MPs were still, you know, allowed to debate. We still had bills passed, new laws passed, you know, things like that. So really, does it move the needle with that even extra time that is given?
I think it does, right? Because of the prominence, you know, that the leader of opposition has by having that first right of response and having, you know, extra time. So it enables, you know, the leader of opposition, you know, to have the same, in a way, the same sort of limelight as the minister, for example, you know, setting up
an agenda.
A proposed law or a proposed policy.
Mm.
I think we must remember that that the government is still trying to develop this office. I think if you go by the practice in the UK, right, where this leader of opposition, in which we are adapting, but we're adapting very, very selectively. The practice is that, you know, the leader of opposition goes to the party with the most number of elected seats, right? So there won't be that competition, you know, as to who should be the leader. But more importantly, in the UK, that opposition party must have contested in enough seats such that if they had won, you know, they would form the government. Mm-hmm. So in this case, you know,
like a shadow cabinet,
yeah.
So to speak.
Right. So the government in this case has in a way given a concession, mm-hmm. right? 10 seats. Right. And of course the question is, you know, what's the threshold, right? Mm-hmm. So I certainly agree that office must be institutionalized. But when you look at the PAP government, you know, they are not going to institutionalize an office, you know, for which they are still trying to understand how it works, how it could work better. I mean, look at the elected presidency, right? We still have provisions, you know, with regard to the entrenchment of the president's powers, you know, that since 1991 have not been brought into force. So I think they're going to exercise care. I don't think it will take as long as another 30 years. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, they would want it to let it have, you know, to be clear what is the office supposed to do. And I think this is where the Workers' Party, yes, they wouldn't be in a driver's seat, but they will have another 5 years, you know, in addition to the five before, you know, to help to shape the office, you know, to try to not let the PAP government, you know, be able to dictate right. everything. But since we have the LO office in 2020, you know, and then again, you know, after the GE 2025, yep. I think it would be very difficult, you know, for the Prime Minister, you know, to take away that particular appointment.
Yeah.
Particularly if the Workers' Party is able to keep to the minimum of 10 elected seats.
Right.
Mm. Now, of course, if it goes down to 2 seats, you know, then yeah, then you might say, you know, no basis for a leader. But I think, you know, given that the minimum, what appears to be the minimum threshold was 10 seats, right, you know, I think, you know, so long as any opposition party crosses 10 seats and they are the largest opposition party, I think there will be a leader opposition. So even as the Prime Minister giveth, right, you know, there are some things that he cannot take away.
Yeah, the number of seats is set
itself. Mr. Pritam Singh has shown that this LO position is very necessary from his term so far?
Well, yeah, I think he has made full use of whatever resources that he has been given. So I think it's been so far in his favour, maybe, to a certain extent. And he has used it well to help him along. So I think, you know, in that sense, it is helpful for him to take it up. I mean, for him to be the LO or someone to take up the seat of the LO.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at it on key issues that Parliament is debating, right, you know, after the government has spoken, right, everyone sort of waits to see what the leader of the opposition has to say.
That's true.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's actually, you know, the anticipation.
Okay.
Right, which means that, you know, people want to hear what the leader opposition has to say. And I think that means a lot.
Mm. I think we recognise that in our society now, we do want to hear different voices in Parliament, you know. But how much of this is now dependent on the person themselves, you know? Pritam Singh has been, you know, come across as quite... he leads with quite a strong hand, so to speak, right? One is asking now who can fill that spot, because otherwise, will they be able to as effectively use that LO position, or will it end up being maybe even a disadvantage to them if not used the correct way?
I think if you look left, look right, okay, no pun intended over here.
Yeah, he's not in Parliament.
He's not in Parliament, but the whole idea that, you know, to find somebody from the Workers' Party who is at the level of Pritam Singh is quite the challenge.
Really?
You know, it's the way that he's able to sustain the party, to hold on to the members, to reason things out. He has just have that certain sense of charisma.
Yeah.
And to look around, again, look left, look right.
I think I'll look up and down as well.
I think it's going to be hard-pressed for the Workers' Party to find someone. I'm not saying that there aren't anyone, you know, who can do the job. But the thing is that given the kind of persona or the personality of Pritam, you know, someone to match that level of energy, that level of support, it's going to be challenging.
So no one to fill the shoes immediately.
Yes, I think he has left big shoes to be filled. You know, I agree with Felix, you know, Pritam is easily, you know, the most charismatic, MP in Parliament, if I can put it that way.
The entire Parliament.
Very forceful, very eloquent, and that force of personality. Yes, you know, I think the Workers' Party would be hard-pressed to find someone who, at this point in time, you know, to match. But I think, you know, putting it aside, you know, looking at the larger picture, you know, of, you know, again, trying to show that we need a more balanced parliament, you know, to show that the Workers' Party does have, you know, that depth of capability. Yes, they may not be as eloquent as Pritam, you know, but I don't think we should doubt that, you know, the likes of Dennis Tan or Gerald Giam, you know, yes, they may not be as as forceful, you know, having that strength of personality, you know, but I think it's important to just demonstrate that, you know, there is this important role that the opposition play. And I think the way I look at the LO is that it amplifies. Yes, it is correct. You know, whatever the WP has done before the LO office, you know, was created, yeah, they continue to do so. But I think the LO office does give them, you know, the amplification, right? Which I think will help them, you know, in their quest.
So in that respect, even if there is someone who isn't as charismatic as, you know, as Pritam Singh, you're saying they should still take up the position, maybe lend their own unique style to it.
Yes, I think people can rise, you know, to the occasion. Right? People can step up.
But I think the main point here is that will they find someone else? Not that someone can take over. Perhaps they want to do that. But the thing is that do they want to do that? Because the narrative that, you know, in that day's session in Parliament is that his conscience is clear. So I think, you know, they want to go and perhaps, you know, show that sort of solidarity within the party and back Pritam, continue to back him and say that if it's not him, there's no one else.
If we assume that someone does take on the role, right? Mm. What are the challenges this new LO will face in Parliament, given everything that has happened during the debate?
Well, I think first, you know, that person will obviously have to deal with comparisons. And of course, then the other would be, you know, how is he or she going to shape, you know, the development of the leader of opposition's office? Can he or she break out of Pritam's shadow, right? And show that the Workers' Party, you know, does have, you know, that they do have a good supply of MPs, you know, who can quite easily step up.
I think a good thing about that, if they are able to find someone to fill the position, is also telling Singaporeans that, hey, there are others in the Workers' Party that can be just as effective and do the job as well as, you know, as an LO. And I think also give them the opportunity. And that is one thing to look at, you know. If you're just going to be Pritam for the longest time, then who else is going to take over? Because you can never be able to fill the shoes that he's going to leave behind, whether he's going to leave the position willingly or otherwise. And so the thing is that if you don't give them a chance now, then who is going to do that? And I think thirdly is also to ensure that somebody might, whoever could take over, will be able to prove himself or herself, you know, credible enough or not at least at that standard for future benefits to the party.
But the thing is, you got to give them a chance, and you are taking a chance. Mm-hmm. It could go both ways.
Yeah, for sure.
But I mean, if you look at the experienced MP, so in this case, you know, if we look at Dennis Tan or Gerald Giam, you know, I think they are known entities, right? And no one is going to expect them, you know, to be Pritam Singh number two, right? They will have to bring their own personalities, you know, but we come back again to the amplification, you know, because that it is possible that if there is no leader of the opposition, right, then there may not be a Workers' Party who, MP, who will be seated directly opposite the Prime Minister.
So optics matters too.
Optics matter. Okay. Right? And again, you know, trying to get people to say, okay, I want to hear what the opposition is. And here we're talking about there's only one opposition party in Parliament, in the 15th Parliament.
Okay.
Yes, they may not like it, you know, to have, they obviously don't like and don't believe that Mr. Pritam Singh should be removed. But I think this is and given that has happened, you know, let's try and see how they can make the best, you know, of okay. you know, so, a so, second best situation.
So in a way, the upside you feel from having that position filled, you know, would
yes,
be more...
I would encourage them to look yeah. at the glass being half full rather than half empty.
But okay. then I feel like if I'm in that seat, every yeah. time I go into Parliament, I feel like I'm going to be facing people who will always kind of circle back whatever argument to the idea that, you know, do you guys as a party, do you guys have enough integrity to, you know, back what you've just said?
So the baggage.
So there's always going to be, do you think the shadow of this whole episode will still be cast upon, you know, Workers' yeah. Party mm. as a whole no, in
definitely,
Parliament?
You raise a fair point, right? But I think voters will get tired, you know.
Okay. So they'll be like,
if the PAP keeps circling back, you know, to that, right? You know, so you will notice, you know, in the GE 2025 campaign, right, the ruling party hardly referred to the court case, you know, to Raisa That's Khan, true. You know, because they know that, you know, voters know about it, right? And they know that they have to let voters decide how they look at those matters. So I don't think, you know, they would circle back. Right, when Mr. Lau Chia Kiang handed the reins of the Workers' Party to Pritam Singh, you know, I think many of us felt, you know, maybe Mr. Lau Chia Kiang should stay longer, right? No, but now, you know, look at how Pritam has risen, you know, to the challenge.
But I think that's what, Tiffany, you brought up over there, whether they will be, you know, everything will circle back and question their integrity, for example. That will certainly happen in some form or other. And if you look at the parliament, 2/3 yes. is with the PAP. Seriously, how much do you think the Workers' Party is going to, you know, not be affected by whatever's going to be asked of them? So there will always be that sort of pushback by the PAP on them. And we probably, the Workers' Party, will need to think of who else is going to do that, to take over that role if, you know, if they need to go and fill up the position. And I think, you know, importantly, right, I mean, with this position, do they still want to keep Pritam Singh as a SecGen? Mm. Or would this new person take over as a SecGen? Or is that a necessity to begin with, because there's nothing in the constitution that says that right. the LO has to be the SecGen of the party.
But at the same time, if you're the leader of the opposition, but you're not the leader of your own party, one would ask.
But then, of course, the circumstances as it stands, you see. So again, it can go many, many different ways. Yeah.
Right.
I think we cannot leave this conversation without talking about WP's internal proceedings. Yep. Basically, the WP's Central Executive Committee has formed a disciplinary panel, right, to assess if Mr. Singh has contravened any of the party's constitution. How do you think everything that has played out in the last few days, how do you think all of this will affect that assessment, the panel's assessment?
I think it's quite difficult to go and say how much it's going to affect them. They will have to make a decision eventually whether, you know, is Pritam, you know, is in the wrong, the court ruling is correct, and therefore something has to be done. I think they'll be caught in a bind between the two. But if you look at those who supported him throughout, they form, I think, the bulk of the CEC. So the decision will still rest on them. If they are supportive of Pritam in the first place, what are the chances or what are the odds that they're going to say that, oh, Pritam is no longer fit to be the SecGen? So I don't see that really happening, and it might not happen unless, of course, Pritam says that he wants to step down.
Step aside. Yeah, I think, you know, the internal proceedings are the one that can potentially do a lot of damage, right? So, for example, if the party demands Mr. Pritam Singh to resign, right, or otherwise be expelled, you know, as was what happened to Leon Pereira, Nicole Sia, and Raisa Khan. You know, that means that, you know, they will lose Mr. Pritam Singh, right, and they will lose that parliamentary seat in Parliament, and there could be implications for Ms. Sylvia Lim as well. I thought the terms of reference were not disclosed to the public, you know, but essentially it states, you know, to see whether Mr. Pritam Singh, you know, has broken the party constitution. Right. I think the way it was framed, right, it's not a question of whether, you know, nothing to refer to the convictions the case, and all. I don't know. For me, that gives an indication of where, you know, the party might be headed. Right? And of course, as Felix mentioned, you had, the other 10 WP members, I think all of whom are on the CEC,
right.
Indicating their dissent, you know, to that motion. right? I wonder whether, you know, on hindsight, you know, they might have thought that it might be better for them to abstain, you know, to try to keep up this idea that because we are going to make the decision eventually, but, you know.
I think we all know it's almost, it's a bit like what we call in Singapore, own self, check own self, you know? Oh, wow. Right?
Yes, I mean, you know, I mean, this is something that will come back to, you know, we can be sure the ruling party will ask, you know, is this a situation where the WP is checking its own self and whether the process are, you know, whether it is actually as rigorous as it ought to be.
Because it's very clear there's no incentive for them to want to lose any parliamentary seats, right? There's no upside to that. So one would imagine, why would you even hit down that path, you see?
What do you think will happen to Ms. Sylvia Lim and Mr. Faisal Manap, you know, within WP? Do you think they would, at some point, WP will also begin a disciplinary process for them?
I think that answers it. I think there will be,
because they will have a parliamentary motion.
Yes. Yeah, apparently.
Especially on them.
Yes.
Right? Probably as soon as in February.
Okay.
Right, before the budget.
Budget, yes.
If they are sanctioned by parliament, you know, then it could raise the question, you know, of whether they might be subjected to the party's internal disciplinary process, right? You know, but I think what will happen to Pritam, you know, will in many ways set the direction and set the tone, mm-hmm. right? And any action that will be taken, if any, right, that will be taken against Sylvia and Faisal Manap, you know, that will only come after the case concerning Mr. Pritam Singh has been disposed, you know, of by the party.
Yeah, I think likely there will be some form of trickle-down effect, yeah. you know, at the end of the day. What's going to happen to Pritam, you know, in within the party itself, might have some effect as well. The motion, you know, Indrani Raja has already stated that very clearly. Next up is going to be Sylvia and Faisal. So I think it's clear-cut, but whether it will be in February before the budget and overshadows the budget, I think, I do not know, you know, whether they want to do that or not. And then
I think they want to clear it before the budget.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so Parliament will sit before the budget, and of course, they will sit during for the budget
for
statement.
The budget, yeah.
But I think they want to clear the deck because, you know, they want the focus
start.
Then,
yeah.
you know, to be on the budget.
How will people on the street look at this? Will they just say, oh no, it's PAP coming in, bullying their way again? I mean, will this have any kind of blowback on them?
No, I think that there certainly will be people who will look at it, you know, that this is really, you know, the ruling party using its parliamentary majority, you know, to hit at the opposition, you know, where they couldn't do it during the general election. But I think, you know, there will also certainly be fair-minded Singaporeans, you know, who will look at it as, you know, this is an attempt to set minimum standards. You know, that this is something that, you know, we would want, you know, of our elected officials, right? So whatever was said in Parliament, you know, by the ruling party MPs and especially by Leader of the House, Indrani Raja, applies equally to the PAP MPs and especially the political office holders, right? So there will be, you know, that so-called blowback, right? Or you'll come back to haunt them, right? You know, if the PAP doesn't conform, you know, to those high standards, right? Or they'd be accused of double standards. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, looking at it from a systemic base point of view, I would say that, you know, much as, you know, people want to look at it from that is politicking, I think it was something that was necessary, right? Because if the lie hadn't been perpetuated, right, we wouldn't have, you know, this particular matter, you know, dragging on, right? The issue would have ended, you know, with Ms. Raisa Khan being dealt with, you know, and it will end there.
Yeah, but it seems as if they are flogging the dead horse. You know, it's over and over again. Enough. I think Singaporeans can realize that. It's like 4 years, right?
No, but they're not flogging. But they're not flogging a dead horse, right? Because, you know, you had, these are outstanding matters, you know, from the Committee of Privilege report, right? These are matters that Parliament would be remiss if they didn't go back to them. Right, because the court case is a separate thing, right?
Yep.
You know, so I think, you know, it's, I think, you know, we can talk about jobs and cost of living and all, you know, but if Parliament as an important political institution in Singapore loses the respect, trust and confidence of Singaporeans, you know, I think we will not be able to move you know, as one, you know, or that people will think that Parliament can do the right thing with regard to all these bread and butter concerns.
Yeah, but I don't think that Singaporeans are questioning the integrity of Parliament or how it's functioned, or whether, you know, I think a lot of times we do say that, oh, there is a certain level of honesty, there's a certain level of standards that we expect for a member of Parliament. And if they crosses that boundary, we know, we can see, we can tell. And I think, you know, this one just stated up front. And what is the sole purpose at the end of the day that, you know, people are going to ask, you know, ultimately, is we never doubted that, you know, it's all about being honourable, being honest, and it's all about your integrity, you know, as an elected member of Parliament.
For me, it just makes a very exciting Parliament to watch.
Thanks so much for coming in. I guess, we will see that. Time will tell, truly. Time will tell how things will turn out. Thanks for staying with us and watching Deep Dive, and we hope you'll join us again next week. But on that note, it's bye for now. That's it.
Bye.